Who are the real people we consider our sages? Who were they in life? What is the legacy they left us? Join Rabbi Danny Sackstein for the next hour as he explores the lives of our Torah giants, the spiritual geniuses who shaped the way we approach Judaism today. That's Focus on Our Sages right now on 101.9 High FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soul to Soul. It's always great to be with you. And here we're with you from our own self-isolation. I'm recording live from my home. First time we've done this, myself that I've done it. And thank you to Chai FM for having the facilities to continue their shows and continue their live broadcasts. And it is great to be with you. So I'm sure many are listening from their homes and not from their cars as usual, because we are all on lockdown and isolated to our homes. And of course, we have to listen to these instructions and these laws of lockdown. And we should follow them very closely and very carefully. Of course, no minyanim at all. We don't get together to daven. We don't get together for any reason. The only reason why we would leave our home is for medical needs or to go and buy needed provisions. Otherwise, we are all isolated. We're alone. We're on lockdown. And that brings many different emotions and thoughts, and it's a whole new reality we're all facing right now. In fact, it's a whole new world that we're living in. Isn't it just unbelievable how the entire world has crumbled and has been turned upside down by this terrible pandemic? And there's no question that Hashem is talking to us. Hashem is talking to every single one of us. Hashem is trying to get a message across. And Hashem's turning the world upside down in order to penetrate and break through and get us to stop and to think and to listen. Usually our lives are so hectic and we're running so fast and so hard and we don't have time. And even those that are fortunate enough to be observant Jews and are keeping the Holy Shabbos, which we highly recommend that every Jew should be doing. Even so, sometimes Shabbos too is hectic and is busy and there's a lot going on. And Shabbos Hashem gave us as this great gift to give us an opportunity to shut everything down, to deaden all the noise and to look into ourselves and to think about who we are and what life is about and where we are going. And that's what this coronavirus is doing to the majority of humanity. Billions of people are now in lockdown, and unfortunately the crisis continues. We see that the latest numbers are very concerning, with 861,000 people around the world, confirmed cases of coronavirus, a total deaths of 42,365 as of this morning, in 180 countries around the world. So this is a very serious pandemic that we all need to take very seriously. And certainly here in South Africa, we have a great danger of there being a large number of fatalities, chas v'sholom, God forbid. And so we all need to play our part in keeping to our isolation and to the lockdown and remaining in quarantine. But that's only the physical aspect to our response. As Jews, we know that everything has a physical component and a spiritual component. And there most certainly is a spiritual understanding and aspect and approach to this whole crisis that has spread across the globe. So what is Hashem trying to say? What is Hashem telling us? Today we don't have nevuah, we don't have prophecy, which means we don't have a direct access to the higher world, to the eternal world, and to God, to the spiritual worlds. So we have to try and read the signs and try and work out to the best of our ability and with our seichel, with our mind and our logic, what exactly is it that Hashem is wanting of us right now? And I think very simply speaking, we see that Hashem is not happy with all of humanity, not happy even with his chosen people, Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people. Because that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Because it's all been shut down. Whether it's our shuls, whether it's our schools, whether it's our businesses, whether it's our entire economy, it's all been shut down. And this is a time that Hashem wants us to introspect and to think and to come back to basics, to return to the right perspective of what we're doing over here, what life is about, what this precious gift of life means, and how we are supposed to use it. And as Jews, we're very fortunate to have our holy Torah, our holy tradition. Our holy tradition guides us in every step of our lives, and certainly in times of crisis like these. And so we turn to our sages, our great sages, who had a tremendous understanding of the Bria, of creation. Perhaps a modern way to describe it would be a software engineer. So we're all using the great technology. We're using Zoom. We're using Skype. We're using WhatsApp. That's keeping us connected with one another, with the world. But most of us, certainly myself included, don't really understand the technical side of how the software works and the real brilliance in all of the technology. And our sages were the software engineers of the world. In other words, they could see how God designed the world and what God intended from the world. They could see, they could read the software of the world. And they tell us in Pirkei Avos, the second Mishnah of Pirkei Avos says, how oilam oimed al shlosha devarim. The world stands on three things. On Torah, avoida ugumilas chasadim. That's Torah. That's the learning of Torah, the observing of Torah, the keeping of the Holy Torah. Avoida means the avoid and the Beis HaMikdash, serving the service that took place in the sanctuary, in the temple. We don't have that anymore, so we have Mikdash HaMi'at, our many temples. So the avoida that we have today is avoida shebelev, is our tefillah, is our davening. And thirdly, gemilas chasadim, acts of kindness. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll discuss in more detail what all of this means for us today.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
So we're talking about our spiritual understanding and response to this global pandemic, this crisis that we face across the world. There's no countries that are free. There's no societies that are immune. We're all facing this terrible pandemic. And of course, we need to generate spiritual merits in order to deal with this terrible crisis. The Jewish understanding generally is that when there's a situation like this, it means that there's midas hadin, that God's attribute of justice is prominent and is functioning in the world. And when there's midas hadin, like we see around us with the 38,000 deaths, it's 42,000 deaths we're up to, and over 861,000 people infected with the virus, that's clearly midas hadin in the world. And the way one reverses midas hadin is by evoking God's attribute of mercy, of rachamim, of compassion. And God reacts to the way we are. In other words, we really, the ball's in our court. God wants to treat us with mercy and with compassion and with kindness. But we hold the keys. We allow God. God responds to our reactions. And when we bring God into this world, so then God can apply those attributes. When we push God away, when God is not welcome here, and when God, there's no space for God here amongst us in our world, so then God steps back and these negative forces and the din sets in and becomes prominent and powerful. So now this is really a crisis time that we need to try and invoke midas hachesed, midas harachim, God's attribute of kindness and compassion. And we have to bring the light of God into the world. And the way to do that, it's a very critical that we do this. So it's not only important that we stay away and follow the guidelines of quarantine, but it's important that we as Jews also play our spiritual part in this crisis. And we create space for God in the world. Because when God is welcome down here, when God, as the Ramban says, has a dira b'tachtonim, has a place to be down in this world, so that automatically brings with it the light and the healing and the blessing and the prosperity and the peace and the goodness that we all long for in the world. So it's really up to us to bring God in, and then the automatic consequence of all of those wonderful things. And when we block God out, when we shut God out, when we push God away, so then we see suffering and hardship and pain and disease as we see right now. So what do we do to bring God in? What do we do to, what's our response to create a space for God here in the world? And what does it mean bringing God in? It means that then what I mean by bringing the blessing and the peace and the healing is that when God enters, so then we will find solutions. We will find cures for the coronavirus, and they'll develop a vaccine for the coronavirus. That only comes with Siyata Deshmaya, with God's help, with the light of God entering into the world. So we need to bring that light of God in, and then automatically things work out. The disaster ends and the healing begins, and the blessings and the peace and the prosperity will be prevalent all over. So what do we do to bring God in? And that's the mission I referred to before our ad break, that the world stands on three things. There are three pillars that hold the world up. And when one sees the whole world shaking, the foundations of the world are crumbling, and those pillars are almost collapsing, we have to reinforce those pillars of the world. We have to reinforce those things, and that'll bring God's presence down into our world to be amongst us. And those three things are, as we mentioned, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, that we all, every single Jew in this world has to be trying to improve in those areas. And I recommend that we all take something on. We all, you know, what more do we need to wake us up, to shake us to our core, to realize we have to move, we have to grow, we have to do something spiritual, we have to play our part. So we all are in this together, and we all are responsible for this. It's not just left to the rabbis or to the frumers or to those that are observant. Every single Jew needs to move in these areas and needs to contribute, because we need everyone. We need the whole team of Klal Yisrael to step up to the plate and to participate. So what I recommend? I recommend development and growth in these three areas. In Torah, in Avodah, in Gemilas Chasadim. So what's Torah? Torah, so the Mishnah says, so what's Torah? Torah, one of the three pillars of the world, is learning Torah, is the learning of Torah. We should all try and learn a little bit of Torah. And we're trying to keep the learning going in our community. I give Zoom shiurim daily. And there's a lot of other access we have with our technology. TorahAnytime.com is a wonderful source to hear shiurim and to learn. But even if you just open up an English book of Torah, read for 10 minutes a day. Make that your commitment now. The world's in crisis. We need spiritual merit, spiritual protection. We need God's presence to be close. And my contribution is going to be 10 minutes of Torah a day. So shut off the Netflix and turn off your cell phone and learn for 10 minutes. Any English book, you know, you can learn a Chumash, you can learn any art scroll book. There's many thousands of wonderful books, Torah books out there. 10 minutes a day, commit to that. It will be a great thing. Perhaps you can commit, if it's not learning Torah or in addition to learning Torah, commit to a mitzvah of the Torah. One of the commandments of the Torah. Maybe take something on. Think about where you are and where you're holding in your level of observance. And because of this crisis that the world is facing, take on something else. Push yourself. We need to push ourselves. Maybe take on putting on tefillin every day, which is such a powerful, magnificent mitzvah and brings great spiritual energy and power into the world. The tefillin connect us to Hashem in a very deep and magnificent way. Maybe it's wearing tzitzis. A person can commit to start wearing tzitzis, the four-cornered garment with the tzitzis, with the strings. Maybe we can commit to Shabbos Kodesh, keeping Shabbos. Wow. If one Jew from the whole coronavirus starts keeping Shabbos, that's a massive thing. Massive thing. The effect and impact on the world for Jews keeping Shabbos is just beyond words. There's no way to describe how powerful that is. That when we enter into Hashem's covenant, the Shabbos is a bris, is a covenant between us and God. When we commit ourselves to that covenant and say, God, the function of that covenant is that we acknowledge every week that God created the world. That in 6 days, God was involved in the creative activity of Maaseh Bereishis, that the world was created in 6 days. And the seventh day, God abstained from creative activity. So every Shabbos, by keeping Shabbos, we're acknowledging that. We're acknowledging Sheshesh Yemei Bereishis, the 6 days of creation. And then we abstain from creative activity, and we acknowledge that this is God's world. God created the world, and this pattern of the week repeats itself. And the perpetual life that exists in the world is through the energy that God is constantly putting in and keeping the world alive and going. That's what Shabbos does. Shabbos, we're bearing testimony to the fact. When a Jew does that, we've got no idea how far-reaching that is and how powerful that is. So if you're not Shomer Shabbos, I beg you, maybe do that for Klal Yisrael. Do that for the world now and accept Shmira Shabbos. Even if you can't take on all of Shabbos immediately, which from the outside seems to be quite limiting, but when you do it, it's the most liberating thing in the world. Maybe take on one thing. Maybe take on not driving on Shabbos, or not turning on lights on Shabbos, or not using one's cell phone on Shabbos, switching off the cell phone, switching off the computers. One sees, I'm sure everybody is enjoying, those that are blessed to have a family who are in their homes, if their homes are filled with a spouse and with children. So it's been wonderful to have real quality time with the families. Now that we have much more time at home because of the lockdown. Shabbos gives you that every week. Every week you have that special quality time with the family, which is so precious and is so valuable and is so delicious, so important for the relationship in the family. So the suggestion is 10 minutes of Torah learning a day. Take on one further step in your development, in your commitment to Torah and mitzvahs. Maybe it's going to shul Friday nights. Maybe you go Friday. Maybe you're going to shul Shabbos mornings. Preferably be a Shemira Shabbos, Kashrus, be kosher, Taras HaMishpacha, keeping the laws of family purity. These are all very powerful tenets and foundations of the spiritual world of the Jewish people. And the more we connect to them, the more light and the more God is closer and comes into our world. And that, the consequence, is the healing of the world. Of course, so that's the first one is Torah. So let's move on. Torah, secondly, is Avodah. Now, the main Avodah in the world was the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, the temple, the sanctuary, and we were in the month of Nisan, and Nisan was the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which was just over a week ago. Rosh Chodesh Nisan was the day when just under a week ago, so tomorrow will be a week from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Rosh Chodesh Nisan was the day when Moshe Rabbeinu inaugurated the sanctuary, the Mishkan, and Hashem's presence entered into the Mishkan, into Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael, the whole nation, 2.5 to 3 million people, saw a cloud from the skies descend and drop down over the sanctuary, surround the sanctuary. Imagine that. It's like a Spielberg movie. You see where Spielberg gets it from. And the cloud surrounded the whole Mishkan, and then it reduced its size and went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. And from there, Hashem would communicate to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Moshe, and when the people had to move, had to travel, the cloud rose up from the Holy of Holies and would move in a particular direction. The people would follow that cloud. At night, the cloud would be replaced by a pillar of fire, and then it would return, the cloud would return back into the Mishkan. It was just incredible stuff that the Jewish people saw in the desert exactly 3,331 years ago. And that sanctuary, that Mishkan, we call it, the temple, was a temporary Mishkan. It was mobile for a number of about four centuries. And then the first temple was built for 420 years, and the second temple was 410 years. So we had temples for well over a millennium in the Jewish people. And the temple was a nuclear reactor of spirituality. It produced a powerful, incredible spiritual energy. And God's connection to the world came through that channel in the sanctuary, in the temple. And by doing the avodah, the service in the temple, so the great light and spiritual energy was able to filter and to flow down from the upper worlds into our world, into this world. 2,000 years ago, the Second Temple was destroyed. We no longer merited to have such a place because we didn't appreciate and grasp its significance. We took it for granted, so it was removed from us. And since then, obviously, the world is a much, much darker place. Our connection to spirituality and to God is much weaker, is on a much lower level because we don't have a Mishkan, because we don't have a Mikdash. And that's why central to all of Judaism is we daven for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, for the rebuilding of the temple. B'mehera b'yameinu, please God, it should be soon. And that will, that brings a tremendous beauty and light and power to the world. And all of the healing and the prosperity and of the peace and the goodness in the world comes through those spiritual channels. We no longer have a temple. So as the prophet, the Navi Yeshaya said, since we don't have a temple today, and we have Mikdashei Me'at, which are our mini temples, our miniature sanctuaries. And those miniature sanctuaries are our Batei Knesios, Basam Midrashos, the places of learning and the places of davening for Klal Yisrael. So our shuls become mini satellite temples. We are an extension of the main temple, and they're places we come together that are designated for the service of Hashem, for our Avodas Hashem. And in particular, Avodah Shebeleiv, the davening that takes place over there. And there are many things that we can only do in a minyan in Judaism. So all Devarim Shep Kedusha in Tefillah, what we call holy things in Tefillah, can only be done in a minyan. So for example, we can only say Kaddish when we have a minyan of 10. We can only say Baruch Hu, Baruch Es Hashem Mevorach, Baruch Hashem Mevorach Lam Ve'ed. Blessed is Hashem, the Blessed One, and we respond, may the Blessed One be blessed forever. Very powerful thing that we start out Shachris Amariv with. So we can only do that in the minyan. We can only say Kedusha. Kedusha that we say in the morning, and we say at Mincha, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakos, Melo Kol Haaretz Kevodoy. Holy, holy, holy is the God of hosts, whatever that means. The whole world is filled with His glory. So we come together and we say these beautiful, powerful prayers to strengthen ourselves, to remind ourselves what the true values and priorities are, to acknowledge our dedication and service and commitment to Hashem. And that's why talking in shul is such a terrible aveira, because when you're talking when Kaddish is being said, Kaddish is a beautiful, a magnificent prayer of praise to Hashem, and praising God's greatness and God's creation and the eternity of God's power and rulership. So beautiful, and that's why it's such a important thing to say Kaddish for a deceased neshama, somebody who's passed away, to say Kaddish for them is so valuable because their loved one is saying Kaddish, saying this powerful prayer, praising God, and the whole community answers, Amen, Yehesh Mei Rab Mevorach Lam Me'olmaya, Amen, may His name be blessed forever and ever. So the relative who's saying it on behalf of their deceased relative, and the whole community is answering them, that gives that soul an innovation in the eternal world. This prayer has been said on behalf of this person, and God's being praised in such a way amongst the Jewish people, so all the credit goes to the person who's in the eternal world, which is a massive amount of credit. And especially if it's a child saying it, if it's a son saying Kaddish, it's very, very powerful and has a very significant effect and impact on the neshama, on the soul of their parent. So that's why to talk during these prayers is terrible, because my little conversation is more important than these powerful prayers of praising God. That's a very destructive thing. And so we're able to say those prayers, and we're able to also say Kriyas HaTorah. We read the Torah in public in with a minyan. You can't read the Torah in a minyan. So that's what the Mikdashei Me'at, the small miniature temples, of our shuls are around the world. They're satellites of the main temple, and they doing the avodah, serving Hashem, and bringing the light of Hashem into these places, as well. So the mini temples have a very powerful significance and a spiritual relevance, and also bring the light of God into the world. But now we're deprived of those. We don't even have our Mikdashei Me'at. We don't have our temple. We don't have our miniature temples, our shuls, because we're in lockdown, in quarantine. So what do we have left? We only have our homes. That's all we have left. We have to daven and learn in our homes. We'll speak about that when we return after this break.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 High FM.
We've been discussing the pillars upon which the world stands. Torah, Avoda, Gemilas Chasadim. The learning of Torah, the observing of Torah. Avoda, the service of God, which was in the sanctuary and in the mini sanctuaries, the satellite temples that are around the world, all of our shuls that we so dearly love and are connected to. And unfortunately now, those are denied of us too. So we can't say those many beautiful prayers that are said only with a minyan. And we are now are left with our davening at home alone. We're not able to daven a minyan. We have to daven alone. And davening alone is much more difficult than davening a minyan, because in the minyan, you've got the atmosphere, you've got the focus, you're in the shul, which is a holy place designated for davening and for learning. And so it's much easier to draw off the environment and the atmosphere of the shul and daven with focus and kavanah. At home, we have many distractions and there's a lot going on, and it's a bit more difficult to focus on the prayers. But this is what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to learn Torah in our homes. Hashem wants us to daven in our homes. And so we need to take our davening seriously, especially at this time. Certainly one of the most powerful means of bringing Hashem into the world and of bringing the healing and the light and the blessing into the world is through tefillah, through davening. And so we all should be davening. We should be davening. If you're not a committed davener who davens three times a day, so maybe commit now at this time to daven once a day. Once a day, daven shachris, daven the morning service. If you're not a davener at all, as we mentioned, to commit to tefillin at this time is an incredible thing to do. To commit to saying Shema, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's a Torah commandment. Say Shema in the morning, say Shema at night. Wow, that's a powerful thing. So maybe that's a very easy and simple commitment for many of our listeners to make. Is say Shema in the morning. One needs to say Shema before Sof Zman Shema. Sof Zman Shema is 9:13. So say the Shema, say Birkas HaTorah, which is in the article Sidur, is page 16. And then the Shema, the three paragraphs of Shema, do so before 9:13. You fulfill the Torah commandment of saying Shema. And then say Shema at night also, after Tzeisach Kochavim. So after 6:40 at night, say Shema also. Incredible. It's a very powerful contribution you're making to the world and to the spiritual energy of the world at the time. And we need you. We need you to do that. Please do that. We need the added light. So we have to daven at home, and we have to daven three times a day. Shacharis, Mincha, Ma'ariv. Take it seriously. Daven properly. Try and make that connection and daven very from the depth of your heart and soul for the end of this crisis and for the saving of Klal Yisrael. And the last of those three tenets upon which the world stands is, as we mentioned, Gemilas Chasadim, is acts of kindness. And this is also now a time, an important time, to strengthen ourselves in this area in acts of kindness. And there is still great opportunity to do chesed, to do kindness at this time. We all no doubt know of people that are alone or elderly people, even if they're not alone, but they're not able to leave their homes. And it's a challenging time for everybody. And one phone call, one Skype call, one WhatsApp or voice note really will go a long way. So let's all maybe commit to that too, to do an act of kindness each day. Each day do one act of kindness. Apply ourselves and push ourselves and do a chesed, do a kindness. And one can offer to do shopping for people that are not able to do it themselves. But this is a great opportunity to do acts of kindness. And with those acts of kindness, one reinforces the third pillar upon which the world stands. And I was thinking that we are at home, and we're at home, as I mentioned earlier, if we're fortunate enough to be married and have a spouse. So it's a time to appreciate that person and to appreciate that we're not alone and we have a partner with whom to share life's journey. And we have somebody, and marriage is not easy, and there are ups and downs, and there are frustrations, and there are joys, and we have to work on ourselves. That's why we're supposed to get married. God wants us to get married because we're forced to work on ourselves. If we were alone all the time, there are many aspects of our personality that we don't have to face up to, and we don't have to improve, because they don't they don't come out. They, you know, remain hidden in our dealing with ourselves. But when we deal with other people, so there's certain aspects of our personalities that are maybe a bit rough and need to be smoothed out and need to be worked on. Marriage is the platform, the greatest platform that exists in order to work on ourselves and to grow. So let's thank our spouses. Let's appreciate our spouses. Let's acknowledge how different our lives are, that we have a life partner to share this world with and to go through all of life's journeys with. So let's work on our shalom bais and creating an atmosphere at home which is of love and of understanding, of compassion, of empathy, and of sharing life together in a fun and beautiful way. So this is a special time. We're saying Gemilas Chasadim, the greatest chesed is what a person does for one, is kindness for one's spouse. So we should all do a kindness for one's spouse each day during this time and try and enhance and work on our shalom bais. And of course, then if a person's blessed to have children, blessed to have the great, wonderful gift of children that Hashem gives us, I see as a rabbi, I'm exposed to quite a broad range of people. And sometimes I come across young people that don't want to have children. And I find that so sad. It's just such a tragedy. They don't know what they're missing. They have a very selfish view of life. It's generally quite a liberal view of the world. And it's all about them and they're at the center and they don't want anything or anyone to impinge upon their comforts and upon their choices and upon their freedoms. But the gift of children is so rich and so beautiful and so special. And it adds such a delight and a beauty and it's very difficult to put in words because it's so powerful, and a connection and a future and a legacy that is indescribable. And if people choose not to have children, they're missing out on most of what life has to offer. They're missing out on this beautiful opportunity to, from a marriage, to have another human being. The Gemara says the three partners in the creation of a human being, mother, father, and our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Hashem, and the continuation of a human being and of the marriage, and the future is in those children, and the light that children bring into the life and to the home is quite incredible. So it's also a time to enjoy our children, to spend quality time with our children, sit and play and learn with your children and play games with your children. And I've been playing soccer in the garden with my sons every day. It's been such fun. Usually we don't have time for these things. So take this opportunity to build those relationships at home and build the shalom bais. And that's also called Gemilas Chasadim, doing kindness to our children in our families. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 High FM.
Time has gone very fast, hasn't it? Time goes quickly when you're having a good time. And so we're going to be wrapping up now. So in conclusion, what we've been saying is that there's a terrible crisis in the world. There's clear Midas Adin, God's attribute of justice is around us. And in order to shift that, in order to change that, in order to counter that, we have to bring God's light and God's closeness and God's presence amongst us. And the way we do that as Jews is to create a space for Hashem in our world. And as we said, the original place of that was the Mikdash, was the Mishkan, was the sanctuary and the temple. And that then becomes the, when that was destroyed 2,000 years ago, it became the Mikdash HaMe'at, the small holy sanctuaries of our shuls, our places that we come together to daven and to learn. And now we don't have that either because we're, COVID-19 has split us all up and put us into quarantine in our homes. And so the place, the Mikdash, the resting place for Hashem now is our homes. And we need to make our homes spaces and places where God's presence resides, where the light and blessing of God enters and is comfortable to be, is not pushed out and squeezed out, but rather is a part and is at home over there. We do that through Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, those pillars that hold the world up. So our recommendation is that everybody takes on to learn a little bit of Torah. Learn 10 minutes of Torah a day and to take on one more mitzvah, just to push ourselves in our growth, in our journey, in our connection to God and to the Torah. So take on one more thing. take on Shabbos Kodesh. Oh gosh, that'll be incredible if a handful of people take on Shabbos Kodesh in response to what's going on in the world. Take on saying Shema in the morning at night. Take on putting on tefillin, kosher food, taras hamishpacha, family purity. These are all very powerful things that we can do in order to mitigate spiritually this dangerous time that we live in. So the first one was Torah. We said secondly is avodah, is tefillah, is davening. We're now forced to daven at home. We're now trying to bring and connect to God in our homes and create a sanctuary in our homes through our Torah and through our tefillah, through our davening. And finally, we said gemilas chasadim, which are acts of kindness. Let's all try and through acts of kindness bring God's light and presence into the world. Let's do kindness first and foremost with our spouse, with our children, with our parents, and then with our community. This is a time that we need to ramp up our efforts in kindness and try and reach out beyond ourselves and connect to others that are in need. And please God, in response, there's no question, if we do the spiritual work, Hashem will respond immediately. And we'll see a change and a shift, and we'll see medications that are developed against coronavirus, and we'll see means of vaccinations. The scientists are relying on us. The whole world is relying on us. As always, Klal Yisrael has a very pivotal role to play in bringing light and goodness and healing to the world. So please God, we should all stay at home, stay safe, stay healthy, and see an end to this crisis soon. And please God, we should merit to see the ultimate redemption and the coming of Mashiach with the Binyan Bayis Shlishi Bimhera B'Yameinu. Amen.